first law, Newton's law of motion, is an object at rest stays at rest. We know that, don't we? As we look around, you see a rock on the ground, and unless some force comes against it, when you come by that rock the next time, it's going to still be on the ground. It is just part of what it is to live in this physical universe. That's one of the laws that how things work. But you know, Newton's laws don't only work for the physical universe, do they? Because we find out in our own personal lives, oftentimes some of these laws seem to apply as well. Newton wasn't talking about people, but I'm going to say that people also fall into this category. That it's easy for us to find our comfort, easy for us to find our routine, easy for us to find a place to settle. And unless something pushes upon us, we would prefer simply not to move. And that's kind of how it is. Unfortunately for many of us, those circumstances will push upon us. Circumstances of our own doing or those around us or the world around us will come and press upon us. But unless those things push, we tend to not want to step outside. We tend to not want to change. That same reality, because we are the church, that same reality begins to affect us as a church together. Now, I know we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, and I wanted to retrain our minds in the way we think, especially about this word church. As you've heard it said all throughout these last weeks, that a church is not a place to go. Yes, you heard that? Anyone been here in the last few weeks? Okay, good, I'm glad. But the church is, and say it with me if you want, is what we are to be, okay? This becomes, again, foundational for how we understand ourselves as well as what it means to be the church. That it's not just a place we go, and we had that nice little thing there, don't just go to church, but be the church. That becomes our theme, our reference point, our jumping off place. And if we are the church and we tend to settle, we tend to become content, we tend to stay in that which we have found or created as a comfort zone for us. But the reality is that the church has been called to be dynamic. The church is called to be a living organism, called to be a growing thing. That's part of what it means to be the church as well. And so we as God's people, we as a church, are then invited to be something that often goes beyond our comfort zone. Our theme verse for today, leading us to our park celebration next week, leading us to the fall that's still ahead of us, leading us into the future that we may not be able to see yet, but God can see for us, of the church that He is crafting and wanting us to become, is going to be found in this passage of Scripture that comes out of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. These are the last verses of the book of Matthew. This is the final commissioning of the church that Jesus gives to His followers before He is then taken up to heaven in the book of Matthew. This is the way Matthew concludes the story. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so therefore, go." You guys know this, don't you? Yep. You guys know this. This is not something new. This is not groundbreaking information. We know that this is Jesus' words to the church. This was His final note of encouragement. This is what you've got to do when you forget what it is you're supposed to do. Jesus said, don't forget this. Of everything I have told you, remember this. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you before I leave. This becomes then key for what it means for us as the church. This is what we are to be about. To go. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now hear that again, just in a little different way. As we gather together, there is something very special about God's presence in the midst of His body. We've talked about that in weeks past. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you also, Jesus said. So there's something very profound about the gathering together. But this verse is specifically talking about those moments when we are no longer together. Those moments when we've gone outside the doors of the church, when we've moved beyond the pews where we sit and we find our comfort. This is a message for us. What do we do the rest of the 7 days a week, 24 hours a day of our life? This is what we do. We share what we've been given, recognizing all the time that He goes along with us. So as soon as we step outside this door, we don't leave His presence. We may leave the presence of one another, but we don't leave His presence, because there it is, that last line, surely I am with you sometimes, most of the times, when times are good, maybe when times are bad, maybe when you're doing good, or maybe when you're doing bad. No. It is surely I am with you always to the very end of what we call time. This is a message for us that we are to go, that He is with us, and in that being with us, we have a purpose. Mark Twain said that the two most significant days in all of our lives are these: the day that we are born and the day we find out why. It is in discovering what we have been made for. It is in discovering that we have a purpose. And Jesus talks about it right here, that we are to go. Not just to gather, but we are to go. And as we go in His presence, we are to share. We are to take. We are to do. We are to replicate what He has done for us, that we are then called to give that away. This becomes purpose for us. My day is not defined by where I go to work. My day is not defined by who I interact with. My day is defined by who has called me and the purpose that I now live it out. That's what He's giving to us, a reason not only that we have been born, but that we have been born for a reason, and that reason is that we might intentionally here, be the church. Sharing the faith you have found, or maybe sharing the grace that has found you, that becomes now our guiding purpose for the life that we live. But in the church, we tend to fall into, and we see this around us, maybe we don't see it so much up close, but we see it in the world around us, that people tend to fall into, at least in the church, fall into three different categories. First, there are those who feel like their lives are so sinful, so messed up, so beaten down and broken that there is nothing that they can do about it. There are a lot of folks who don't feel they can actually accomplish anything or live according to their purpose because they have already been disqualified. They've been beaten, they've been broken, they know the mess that they have been, they know the stuff that they have done, and they can't do anything about it. Now, as we look around, we see there's a second camp of people, and that is those who tell others how sinful, how beaten, how bad, how messed up and weak that they are about it. But they really don't do much to help those folk, nor do they really do much about their own lives, but they're really good at seeing the faults in others. Unfortunately, though I don't think they are the majority, I think the church often gets labeled with this label, that this is how the church is often seen by those outside of the church. But there is a third group, and I'm going to encourage us to think about where do we fall in this category. There is a third group of people, and those who know that they are not perfect, but live their lives looking for opportunities to allow the grace of God to shine through them. Broken people in the process of being healed, not waiting till they're perfect, but allowing that grace to be shared in the meantime. Now the question is, where do we fall in those camps of three? Because there's other categories possibly, but I would suggest to you that those three tend to be where we tend to fall. And the church is invited, again, we are invited to be the light of the world. But what does that mean? Jesus said we are to be ever growing because we're ever making disciples, But how do we do that? These are the questions that are the secondary questions for us that we as a church must wrestle with. What does it mean? Sometimes we say, well, I would happily share my faith, but it's not really appropriate for me to share my faith in this circumstance or that. Maybe at my work, I can't really talk about faith issues. It's not the place where I should share my faith or debate my faith or talk to people about stuff that's important to me. So how do I be the church? How do I make disciples? How do I begin to do what Jesus seems to be calling us to do? And I'm going to suggest a couple things. One is, when you're in that place where it seems inappropriate to speak those words, don't hesitate to live your life. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, that you, speaking of the Corinthians, which through them, speaking to us, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. What's Paul saying? He's saying that the rest of the world may not need to read this letter, this Bible that you are reading in 2 Corinthians, because they should begin to see that letter in you. It's how we begin to live our lives, how we begin to interact with one another, how it is we begin to care for one another, how it is we begin to allow His love to work through us. St. Francis of Assisi said this: it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. And if you don't get that, hold on to it for a while. You will. It is profound to think that it's not just the words we say that actually communicate, that actually bring change, but it is the life we live. And then if the life we live happens to match up with those words which we say, then it is the magic bullet. And watch out what can begin to happen. It's been said, and I believe it is true, that you may be the only Jesus that some people see. And why would it not be true? Bibles are everywhere, but not everyone reads it. The name of Jesus is out there and everywhere, but who knows what it really means? Unless the world sees a Jesus follower and begins to associate something of our life and the giving of our life with His giving for us. There is something profound about this idea that we become the Jesus for the world to see. That when, as we go on to campus, if we work at a school, that we take that light and we shine that light where we go. That as we go into our business or we interact with those at the store, that we begin to enable our life to be marked somehow differently than what others may normally see. Sometimes it's appropriate to not only take Jesus with you, but to invite others to come and trust Him as well. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus because I am so in love with Him. I want to share what I have found. Sometimes that feels like we're going to get rejected or somehow maybe we're not going to be accepted, and so it becomes difficult for us. But I want to give you a baby step to take. How about this? If you want to begin to share your faith, but you don't know how, because you don't know what they would say, you don't know how they might respond, start with something that's easy. Say, why don't you come with me next Sunday to Ralston Park? We're going to have church. My church is having our 17th birthday celebration. Come join us. We're going to have a barbecue after. Man, I need a cornhole partner. Because who doesn't like to be thought of? Who doesn't like to be wooed? Who doesn't like to be needed or wanted? He thinks I'm a good cornhole player? Huh, maybe I'll go to his church and find out. Everyone likes barbecue. Takes it outside the walls of the church. Maybe if the walls of the church are intimidating for some, it begins to break that barrier down. But more than anything, it says what? It says that person matters to you because you're inviting them to come and spend some time with you. You see, it's a simple affirmation that you're saying their life matters to you and you're inviting them to come be with you. Invite them to come to our chili feed. Who doesn't like chili? Anyone here? Okay, good. Who doesn't like fun? This night is a blast. It is a great time. Invite them to come to the World Series men's breakfast at the end of the month. Men love to talk about sports. And those who don't, all of us like to eat. What a great opportunity. You don't have to say, let me tell you about the theological ramifications of what the incarnation of Christ into this broken world means. You don't need to do that. You simply need to say, come with me. Let's go to a World Series breakfast. Okay, cool. Where? At my church. Okay. And they're on. And all of a sudden, we've got something of a connection. All of a sudden, they know they matter to you. Or say, hey, you've got kids. They like candy? Come to our church's trunk or treat on the 28th. No strings attached. Come out, let the kids have fun. Let them get a pile of candy before Halloween arrives, just so they can get a, you know, start their sugar high early. Because what does that then say? It says, one, you care about their kids. Two, maybe even your church cares about their kids. And you know, nothing matters to parents more than their kids. And if they begin to believe the church cares about their kids, or the church cares to engage with them about breakfast or sports, or the church cares to reach out and have fun with them, maybe they begin to think of God as someone who could begin to be thought of in those terms. Maybe that idea of, for God so loved the world, becomes more than a memory verse, but it becomes to become something real, that deep yearning that every person is born with. To be reunited, to be affirmed and loved by their heavenly Father, and they hear those words and they ring hollow because they don't believe a God who could actually care about them, or they don't believe that God does care about them, or they don't believe that maybe God even exists. But as they begin to see in your lifestyle, in your invitation, in the expression of care for them as an individual, as a family, what have you, they begin to say, maybe there is a God who could love me. And maybe that verse becomes something more than just a memory verse that they have put away, but it becomes something that could be real. This is how we go. We don't have to go around the world. Simply, wherever we go is really how that verse indicates. Wherever you go in the life that you lead, wherever you go in this thing you call life, wherever God leads you, being a means out to your field or to the store or to that community next door or maybe around the world, but wherever you go, that we share the light that God has placed within us, and then we recognize that it is He who walks with us, helping us all the way. We may be the only Jesus some people see. How do we care? How do we grieve? How do we suffer even at times? How do we anticipate what's coming next? How do we live with the uncertainties of our health or relationships or our age? How do we do all that in a way that shows that we have a confidence that comes from something deeper? Everyone goes through troubles in this life, but how do we weather that? We may be the only Jesus that they see, and we are invited to go and to share that with them. So this week we have a mandate. Anyone know what that mandate is? Yes, to go. To go and to share, because He is with us. And it's not a going when we go on a missions trip. That's true too. But it is for every one of us, every day, that we have a purpose to be the church. Father, I thank You that You have invited us, that somehow You have believed in us enough to say that we are to be Your representation here on earth. Knowing how faulty, knowing how insecure, now knowing how imperfect that we are, You still call us to be Your representation here on earth. God, continue to deepen our love for You and our love for one another. Continue to deepen our care and compassion, even as Your care and compassion for the world have no boundaries. Enable us the ability to see beyond ourselves, even as you have demonstrated, the ability to not care only for yourself, but to care for the world around us, that word of your love for all the world might be seen somehow in our eyes, in our words, in our actions. Help us, Lord, to be your people as we move into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.